Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
All righty. Welcome in on a Thursday afternoon. It is WKAR's current sports. Jack Kerwin in for L. Martin today. Al will be back for the Tuesday edition of next week's current sports. I am joined by the other two interns that I serve with every single day. Connor Mathis is in studio as well, riding shotgun, and I have Alec Rio behind the glass. Connor, how you doing, man? How's your Thursday going?
Oh, pretty good.
Can't complain too much?
No.
That's good.
It's a very nice day outside. And we're
only a couple days away from football, so.
Exactly.
It's almost here. We only got a couple more days of Tiger baseball, and Tiger baseball only, before we can shift back into, you know, more of a football mindset, which I just think, you know, I don't know about you, Connor, but for me, when I was a kid, I always looked forward to summer vacation because, you know, I didn't really like going to middle school, high school. I mean, I liked school, but, like, you know, obviously summer vacation was just so awesome to have 3 months off or whatever the case may be. But now that I'm in college, the school year is just so much better for a number of reasons, and football might be chief among those. So do you agree with me, or do you still like summer more than the school year?
Summer's nice. I will say, I guess going back to school, seeing everybody, you got a little more stimulation, more things to do other than, you know, if you just got a job, just working all summer. But
for sure.
You know, I think it's a good balance. It's nice to have a break for at least a month, but then
it's,
you know,
I think
once you hit month two and month three and you don't have like a set thing, then it gets starts to wear a bit.
Yeah, big time. I agree with you on that one. And also, we didn't really talk about it on the show yesterday. Didn't really want to bring it up just because I guess I don't like talking about myself like this, you know, talking about my personal life. But I turned 21 yesterday, so bear with me, people. I'm still reeling from a wild night at several bars. But yeah, I had my first sip of alcohol, obviously, because you can't drink alcohol before you're 21.
How was it?
Because that would be illegal.
Goodness,
from what
no.
From what I remember, it was a lot of fun, Alec. I enjoyed my time there. We went to Lou and Harry's, and then we went to Rick's, and I got my black card. And then we went to Dublin. My boss took me to a couple places, my other boss. And then we went back to Lou and Harry's for some food, and then my friends carried me home. And I feel kind of bad for him because, as I was telling Connor a minute ago, I weigh almost as much as the two of them combined, but we managed to get back home, so shout out to them.
They got a good workout, so
they did.
It's a fair trade-off.
That couldn't have been fun for them. Like, waking up this morning and thinking about it, that could not have been a fun experience for them dragging me home. It was like one of those things where, you know, when someone gets like a knee injury in football and they got their arms
around the trainers.
That's exactly what it was for me. So that probably was not a whole lot of fun for them, but we got through it, and I'm still alive, and, you know, now I'm here. So we will invite you to participate in the show as we always do. Please give us a call at 517-355-WKAR. That's 517-355-9527. Alec will be monitoring the phone lines. We got a lot of good topics for you today, man. We're going to lead in with, you know, just kind of a question that Connor and I are going to debate, and we'd love to hear from you on this as well, concerning two premier brands, I would say, in college football. Two teams that I would say are blue bloods just based off of name alone, and, you know, how they're going to measure up to their expectations this year following the AP poll coming out earlier this week, right? AP poll came out like Monday.
Yes, it was earlier. The exact day is, it came out,
it's not that
August
important.
19th.
Okay, so Monday. Yeah. The AP poll came out on Monday, and, you know, a lot of familiar faces at the top who maybe haven't, you know, made the college football playoff yet, but people are expecting big things from year in and year out. And, you know, we'll kind of see. I'll let you know who those teams are, and I'll give you my expectations for them. And, you know, we'll see who measures up to the billing, if you will. So, segment two following that, we will talk about Lions preseason, previewing their game against the Bills. They play the Bills, right? In all seriousness, we're probably not going to talk about that. But, you know, going to be a lot of college football for you leading up to Saturday's game. Just one game on Saturday. Miami and Florida in Orlando. So, you know, we're kind of in a football mindset here at Current Sports. But right now, let's begin the show as we always do with your Current Sports quick hit headliners. And here is Connor Mathis to lead you with our Current Sports quick hit headliners. Connor?
All right. So, Michigan State football named their captains earlier today. With just 8 days away until MSU football, the Spartans have named their four captains to chase the moment this season. This senior quartet of Brian Lewerke, Joe Bocci, Kenny Wilkes, and Raquan Williams were named captains today. It's the second year in the row that Lewerke and Bocci were named captains. It's also the first year since 2009 that there will be four captains. Those captains that year were Kirk Cousins, Blair White, Greg Jones, and Ross Weaver.
Do you think this is in response at all to Shea Patterson not being named a team captain just to make Lewerke the fourth captain, you think, for Michigan State? You think there's any correlation there?
You know, I don't think so, but if it was, if that was done on their part, oh man, I'm here for that level of pay. That's hilarious if it is.
Has D'Antonio not named a quarterback captain following since the Connor Cook epidemic in 2015? I mean, Lewerke, I don't think won the job in 17, so I don't know if he was
Lewerke last year was captain. Lewerke this year's captain. I think the infamous 16th season, I think O'Connor
was the captain. Yes. So just Lewerke his first year when he wasn't a returning starter was not a captain. So how about that?
Yeah. All right. And kind of a weird story coming out of the Astros Tigers game. The Houston Astros blocked Detroit Free Press reporter from attending Mr. Verlander's media scrum following the game, which may be a violation of the Baseball Writers Association of America protocol and possibly the MLB's collective bargaining agreement. The Astros blocked the Free Press at Verlander's request, according to Gene Diaz, a Astros vice president of communications, who told the Free Press reporter assigned to cover the game that Verlander was adamant in saying that he would not speak to any credentialed media if the reporter was part of the postgame scrum. Now, Verlander pitched a complete game Wednesday in Houston, allowing two runs in a 2-1 loss to the Tigers.
That's crap. All of it, honestly. Anthony Fenech being barred from talking to Justin Verlander is outrageous.
It just seems odd. It makes them look like sore losers for one, but it's just kind of weird that they picked that one guy out. So
yeah, I'm gonna need to go back and check because I was wondering that too. If Verlander and Fenech have any type of history, if Fenech may have written something in the past that pissed off Verlander,
maybe
he must have. Right?
I mean, you don't see that from athletes. I mean, I remember the Russell Westbrook for the Thunder barred the one guy because I know that guy has put stuff out about Russ that he doesn't appreciate. And so, but I mean, you usually don't see it. It just seemed kind of out of the blue to me. But anyway, moving on. Baker Mayfield has cleared the air a little bit around his comments regarding Giants rookie quarterback Daniel Jones from Wednesday. Cleveland's quarterback created a firestorm on Tuesday when he reportedly told GQ he can, quote, not believe that the Giants took Daniel Jones. New York's rookie appeared unbothered by the comments, but Baker made an effort to further clarify his remarks on Wednesday after a text message exchange with Jones. Quote, I reached out to Daniel because all that blew way out of hand, and I wanted him to know how I felt, Mayfield told reporters at Browns training camp. He was cordial, and he said, "No worries, man. I've always had nothing but great. I've always heard nothing but great things from Saquon and Sterling Shepard, guys that I have a lot of respect for, and I respect their opinions." So I that felt like a non-story too. I mean, I think it got blown up out of proportions, but you know, he's a quarterback, so
it's just one of those things where you probably shouldn't talk about your peers just in general, like if you're Baker Mayfield, which, I mean, I don't know if he even meant it disrespectfully, like he thinks Daniel Jones is a bad player. You know what I mean?
He thinks it was just a general shock. Because if you ask anybody who was covering the NFL, was anyone expecting them to pull the trigger on Daniel Jones this year, especially with the quarterback class that's going to be coming out this offseason?
And didn't Mayfield also make the comment that he was shocked when he got picked first overall? He said something to that effect, too. And it's like, when you put it that way, it's like it's hard to disagree with that. Because, like, I didn't think Baker Mayfield was going to go first overall.
I don't think many people did that. did either. But, you know, he's a quarterback. So anything he says is controversial is going to get blown up.
Yeah.
All right. Sticking in the NFL, Jets Le'Veon Bell says he needs teammates to hit him in practice. Before practice each day, New York Jets running back Le'Veon Bell tells his defensive teammates, "Give me a little something." Bell, who's being held out of preseason games of precaution, wants to get his body acclimated to contact before making his Jets debut week one against the Buffalo Bills.
So in other words, he wasn't acclimated to contact when he was playing basketball at the YMCA last year during his holdout?
You know, I mean, I guess not. Unless he's got someone who's inspired by Bill Laimbeer playing with him.
That was such a funny story. Do you remember that? He was just playing open gym.
Bell went on to say, quote, "Go for the ball, things like that, just so I can get prepared." The Jets' prize free agent edition will sit out Saturday night against the New Orleans Saints, just as he did the first two preseason games, and the starters are not expected to play for the Jets in the preseason finale. And moving on to some more college athletic news. The ACC Network debuts tonight. After 3 years of planning, building, and negotiating, ESPN was ready earlier this month to reveal the studio for its newest television channel, the ACC Network. The venture will be owned by ESPN, which will split expenses and revenue with the ACC among the top conferences in college sports. Only the Big 12 remains on the outside looking in when it comes to the upside of a league-focused network. So, it's been building for some time, and I think people are going to look forward to this. I mean, the Big Ten network is obviously pretty successful. The SEC network is a huge, huge part of
because that's
ESPN affiliated. Exactly.
Yeah.
So, you know, hopefully this turns out well for the ACC, and we'll have to see if the Big 12 actually gets on it. I won't even mention the Pac-12's network.
Is there a Pac-12 network?
Yeah, it exists.
Okay. Yeah, no, because when you read that, I was surprised. I didn't really remember that.
The Pac-12 has a network. It's just not doing too hot. Not really doing well on the promotion and all other sorts of issues. But again, Pac-12's having problems, so the network's having problems.
Yep. And I mean, the Big 12 just continues to be kind of behind in every aspect of collegiate athletics, in my mind.
Yeah, they're kind of looking for expansion, but then they back out last second. So they're kind of a weird spot. I mean, I think eventually they're going to get a network just because, you know, it's extra money, and it really doesn't cost the conferences all too much, unless, of course, you're the Pac-12 and you run it horribly. But, I mean, it seems like a good play for them.
Do you think there's a chance the Big 12 folds?
I think eventually if they don't adapt.
I think they're going to have to, right?
Yeah, but I think I'll give them the benefit of the doubt that they'll adapt. I mean, they're a Power 5 conference. So.
Yeah. I mean, it was just so shocking to me when they lost Texas A&M a couple of years ago.
Yeah,
it was like, kind of made me think of like the mortality of the conference, to be honest with you. Yeah. It's like, damn, that's a big, I mean, it's not Texas, it's not Oklahoma, right? But I mean, to lose Texas A&M just like that to the SEC was pretty shocking.
Yeah. And moving into the world of international basketball, Kemba Walker scored 23 points and Miles Turner added 15 to give Team USA a 102-86 win over Australia today in a World Cup exhibition match. The attendance at Marvel Stadium, which normally hosts soccer, cricket, and Australian and Aussie rules football, was 51,218 and billed as the largest crowd ever to watch a basketball game in Australia. The stadium was transformed into a makeshift basketball arena for two games against the Americans before the World Cup starts later this month in China. After Australia briefly took the lead 45-44 early in the second half, the Americans scored 13 unanswered points, including three straight three-pointers by Turner, Harrison Barnes, that's a surprise, and Donovan Mitchell to go up 57-45. Harrison Barnes was part of a three-point streak there.
He's going to have a big year this year. He's my comeback player of the year in the NBA. Is Harrison Barnes on a team right now?
I think so. He's still on the Kings.
Okay.
But, yeah, that's a bit of a shock.
I'm just being sarcastic.
And as Jack brought up earlier, the Lions have extended Snacks Harrison. The Detroit Lions have reportedly given Damon Harrison a one-year extension that will keep him with the team through the 2021 season. ESPN reports that Snacks will get more guaranteed money for the next 2 years. Harrison has sat out all of off-season activities while looking for a contract extension with the team. And just a reminder, the Lions traded for Harrison last season in a deal with the New York Giants. He originally had 2 years left on his deal before yesterday's extension. And preseason football continues tonight. Jack, are you
hyped? Thank goodness.
Are you hyped?
I can't wait to just settle in and tune into some. Who's playing tonight?
Well, funny you mentioned that. We've got the Giants versus the Bengals.
Wow, that's an exciting game right there.
The
Giants and the Bengals.
Hey, man.
I mean, throw the Dolphins in there, basically.
Oh, guess what?
Those are probably your top three picks
in
this next upcoming NFL draft.
The Dolphins are going to be taking on the Jaguars at 7:30. We got the Packers playing the Oakland Raiders. Some more Hard Knocks content there. We got the Washington Redskins taking on the Atlanta Falcons. All those games are at 7:30.
How has Dwayne Haskins looked? That's what I'm actually, because I know he kind of struggled at first.
Since I was back home in Virginia, I watched their preseason because it was on TV. That first game was brutal, I'll be honest with you. The second game,
how much did he play?
He played a good quarter the first game, and then I think he played about that amount in the second game. The second game, we had it was a little more upside. He completed a longer pass. He's still 50%, so he very much looks like he is stick him on the shelf for a year and hope he develops. I would not rush him into the fire by any means. He needs time to develop.
Is Alex Smith out for the year?
Alex Smith is probably done for
probably
his career.
Done.
He wants to get back, but his injury was eerily similar to Joe Theismann.
Exactly.
And at his age, you got to wonder, even if he does come back, how many teams are going to take a flyer on a guy who just completely destroyed his leg. So, finally, we got the Carolina Panthers taking on the New England Patriots, and that'll feature N'Keal Harry, who, if you remember, torching MSU.
No, not really. MSU actually played pretty well against N'Keal Harry, minus one play where he basically mossed Justin Lane.
Yeah, that was.
But in all seriousness, MSU did okay against N'Keal Harry. He's a heck of a talent.
He's a very good
pisses
receiver.
Pisses me off that he's on the Patriots.
I couldn't believe he fell to the Patriots, to be honest. I thought he was probably at least top three receiver in the draft class. And Chase Winovich, also for the Patriots.
I can't believe he fell to the Patriots either. Oh, my goodness.
Patriots just have a way. They're just, work some black magic.
Who else? What other receivers? Were there any other receivers taken in the first round?
Not in the first round.
I can think of one guy off the top of my head
so.
That I like more than N'Keal Harry.
That, but
I think the only guy I would take over N'Keal Harry from last year's draft would be Paris Campbell. But
Paris Campbell was
I'm very bullish
big,
on Paris Campbell. You want to know why? Because even as a rookie, speed translates. And Paris Campbell can fly.
Yeah. All right, and those are your current sports quick hit headliners. If you want to call in and share your thoughts on any of those, please call at 517-355-9527. Share what's on your mind. You can also go to our Facebook page or tweet the show at WKR News.
Thank you for your service, Connor.
Of course.
Once again, welcome into this Thursday afternoon edition of WKAR's Current Sports. Jack Kerwin here, driving the bus today. I got Connor Mathis in studio with me and Alec Rio behind the glass as well. The inmates are running the asylum for the end of the week and for Monday of next week as well. So we kind of teased this a little bit before we went to the quick hit headliners, and that is, you know, the AP poll came out on Monday, and in the top 10, you know, the top five is pretty much set, obviously, with Clemson, Alabama, Georgia, Oklahoma, and Ohio State, kind of, you know, who you would expect, and, you know, the top five programs in college football right now, if we're being honest. And then filling out the rest of the top 10, you have some teams who, you know, a team such as Notre Dame at number 9 that I think is, you know, I think they're dangerous this year. I think they're very much a live team and a live, they have a live shot at making the college football playoff for the second year in a row. But there are some other teams who a lot of people in the national media are very bullish on, namely Michigan and Texas. Michigan comes in at 7th in the AP poll, and Texas comes in at 10th in the AP poll. And I just wanted to talk to Connor and Alec about this. You know, we've kind of seen these teams hovering around the top 10. You know, so many people want Texas to be back that it, you know, when they beat Notre Dame a couple of years ago, famed, you know, Tyrone Swoop scored in double overtime and the announcer dubbed Texas is back.
Became a meme.
Yeah, Notre Dame went on to finish 4-8 that season, and Texas not much better, and Charlie Strong got fired after that. But I digress. Anyway, so these are two big time programs in college football who, you know, they're not back to national relevance yet, in the sense that neither of them have won their conference, you know, since kind of reemerging as threats to do so. And I just wanted to talk to Connor and Alec about which team has a chance, Michigan being ranked 7th, Texas being ranked 10th, which team has a chance to surpass the expectations that the AP poll has in front of them. You know, Michigan is, I believe they're the Vegas favorite to win the Big Ten right now. And Texas, I can't imagine they are. I would imagine they're second behind Oklahoma. But which of these teams has a better shot to make the college football playoff this season? I'll give you my thoughts in a minute, but Connor, any initial thoughts there?
You know, I did some looking at these two teams. I'm more keen on Texas than I am Michigan. I feel like we've heard the same story, same song and dance with Michigan now for, oh, when did Harbaugh get here?
This is year 5 for Harbaugh. Yeah, so you're 15 years since they won the Big Ten.
So, you know, 5 years, Harbaugh was supposed to change. He's supposed to get him back to Indy. He's supposed to get him back to the playoffs. And he's supposed to get him back to, you know, big-time relevancy.
Sure.
And I just, you know, haven't seen that so far. And even though I keep seeing all these articles, oh, the Michigan offense this year is going to be insane. And, you know, this year is finally going to be their year. I'm just not sold on it. I have a little bit more faith in Texas because I think Texas has shown some more strides, especially towards the tail end of last season.
Sure.
Ending on a high note, beating Georgia, who shocked me. But,
oh, that's right. Texas did beat Georgia.
Yeah.
I forgot about that.
Yeah.
It wasn't even that close, was it?
It was a close game for a little bit, but I believe they ended up pulling away.
And Bevo almost killed Uga at the beginning of that game. You remember that?
Yeah, that was not smart by the two handlers there.
It's just one of those things where, and I love Bevo because he's such a tradition, but having a live bull at college football games maybe isn't necessarily the greatest idea
Texas
in the world.
Texas ended up winning that game against Georgia by a touchdown, but it was a back and forth, but Texas had a upper hand for quite some time.
Okay, so there you go. So Connor's thoughts, he believes Texas has a better shot to make the college football playoff and surpass their expectations than Michigan. And I'm going to give you a bold take here, and if it doesn't work out this way, I'm never going to bet on this team again, never going to trust this team again, never going to get behind this team again until they show me that they can actually do it. You ready for this?
Shoot.
I think Texas is going to the college football playoff this year. I think Texas is winning the Big 12, namely because, and I love Lincoln Riley at Oklahoma, do not get me wrong, he is the Sean McVay of college football. He is the brightest young offensive mind in the sport right now. But let's be honest. He has had unbelievable talent at his disposal. Is this year 4 for Riley? I can't remember. But I digress. He's had Baker Mayfield and Kyler Murray under center for him since he's taken over for Bob Stoops as the head coach at Oklahoma. And I just, as brilliant as I think he is, I do not see him replicating the same magic with Jalen Hurts under center. I have never believed in Jalen Hurts. I didn't believe in Jalen Hurts when he was at Alabama. I don't think Jalen Hurts factored into that team winning games, just if we're being honest. I think Jalen Hurts is a game manager who, I don't know if he'll lose you a lot of games, but I don't really think he's going to win you games either. And for me, Sam Ellinger, obviously, He's got to take a step this year if this is going to happen. He's shown promise as a quarterback. No question about that. But, you know, he's going to have to put it together this season if Texas is going to win the Big 12. But I think they will. I think this is the year where, you know, the Red Sea is kind of parted a little bit, if you will, for Texas. And Oklahoma's still going to have a good offense. They're still going to be able to run the ball. But, I mean, you saw what Oklahoma's defense looked like last year. You know, I mean, they were terrible, right?
It's Big 12.
Yeah. I mean, but Texas had a better defense last year than Oklahoma did. So, moving forward, I think this is Texas's year to win the Big 12, Connor.
See, I give them more. They're more likely to get to the college football playoff. I don't believe that they're going to get there. I think they are going to finish second in the Big 12. I think.
Anything less than that is.
I think they have a decent enough
cataclysmic failure for my pick.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I think they finish second in the Big 12. You know, the week two they visit LSU, which is going to be a tough game.
It's in Baton Rouge. I believe it is.
Yeah.
But it's non-conference.
We can check that. But, you know, they got LSU, they got Oklahoma. And
check
they got
on that for Iowa, us,
they
Alec.
They got Iowa State. Now, you are not so hot on Oklahoma because of Jalen Hurts.
Correct.
I am the opposite. I think that Lincoln Riley has proven he can make quarterbacks
sure.
into something.
So he's going to make Jalen Hurts.
Beyond
right.
what we expect them
sure.
to be.
Sure.
So I still would have Oklahoma being my favorite to win that conference. Again, they have the experience going to the playoff. They have the experience of winning it more recently. Again, by no means am I saying that Texas is bad or they're going to have a bad season. I think they're going to have a very good season. Again, they ended the last season on such a high note, beating one of the better teams in the country, pretty just handling business against them. You know, and you know, if you're looking at their losses from last year, from you know player standpoint, you know they lose Little Jordan Humphrey,
LJ Humphrey, you know that's electric player.
That's a
electric
big,
name
you know,
too.
That's a good name. It's a loss on the offensive side, but you know it doesn't really make me all that nervous. And I mean they have some losses on the defensive side, but again they play in the Big 12. If you can the Big 12, you can win games purely on shootouts. You just have to be. You have to be able to put up the same numbers, which is to your point. I think you're right. Sam Ellinger needs to make another step because in that conference, you're in shootouts almost every week. You got to be able to keep pace with some of these quarterbacks and capitalize when you're the rare circumstances when your defense gets a stop or when the other team's offense makes a mistake. So I like Texas, but I don't think they're going to go to the playoff. I'm not convinced yet. I'm not convinced yet that they can beat Oklahoma.
I got to tell you, Connor, the more and more I look at the data here, if you will, the more and more I feel good about this take. They only play one ranked team, one team that's ranked in the preseason top 25 on the road. They have LSU at home, and they have Oklahoma at home. Wow. I'm feeling good about this now, Connor. Texas is back. We have declared it on WKAR's Current Sports. It has
Jack.
Now been said by me. It is now true. Texas football back.
Jack has claimed it is back. I'm saying they're gonna have a good year. I'm not sold on their back. If they beat Oklahoma or if they beat LSU, I'm all
nope,
in on that.
Nope,
but
I'm not gonna say they're
back yet.
Nope.
The other thing
there
I
is only room for you on the bandwagon right now. If you wait until the LSU game when Texas dominates,
I'm not going to say they're back until they win the Big 12.
That's actually fair because
I'm not going to say they're back because I'd be like saying, "Oh, Michigan's back and Michigan's hasn't won the Big 12, not the Big 10."
That's kind of where I'm at.
The thing about Texas that makes me nervous is that Iowa State game. Iowa State is
Cyclones,
this
baby.
sneaky team that every year either to be Big 12 team or non-Big 12 team goes in. It's like, Iowa State, this is an easy game. We got this unlocked, and Iowa State finds a way to win.
Yes.
So that's my biggest trap game for Texas is. Don't sleep on the Cyclones because they find ways to win. I can't explain it. I think every single – for like the last 4 or 5 years, they found a way to just sneak in, just bump someone out. I mean –
sure.
So those are my only worries with Texas is can they beat Oklahoma and can they beat Iowa State?
Iowa State would definitely be a live dog at home in that game. To your point, a lot of weird games have happened and –
they just find ways to win.
What city is Iowa State? Is that Des Moines? I think it's Des Moines. But whatever. Does the Big 12 have a conference championship game? It does now, right?
It does so, after, if you recall, the
I believe it was the after the 2016
season. Yeah, the two snubs of the college football playoff where they were like, why are we going to get in? The committee basically said, well, you don't have a conference game. It's a conference final.
Was that, are you talking about in 2014 when Ohio State got in over Baylor and TCU? Okay,
that's when it kind of put the wheels in motion. That put the wheels in motion because you know.
Yeah. Okay. So, and who played in the Big 12 championship last year? Was Oklahoma and was it West Virginia? It wasn't Texas. I'm trying to think of who the other team was. Man, this is some dead air here on the air.
I believe if I'm not mistaken, it actually was Texas.
Yeah, yeah, it was, wasn't
Texas,
it?
Texas, yeah.
Yeah.
So they've gotten there. So, I mean, they just need to prove that they can beat Oklahoma.
They'd have to beat them twice, probably, in all likelihood.
More than likely.
But you know what? The other thing is, too, I agree with you about the Iowa State game, but they can drop the Iowa State game and still make the college football playoff. So
That's true, but they have to beat Oklahoma, correct, and they have to take care of business against LSU, which, correct, again, LSU is always another one of those teams that appears high-ranked, you know, every year, but you know, you never know what you're going to get with them. Some years they look really good, and some years it's like, this is an SEC team?
You shut your mouth. Shut your mouth. LSU slander is not tolerated on these airwaves.
Not slander, just fact.
I love Coach O. Never mind that. Would have been inappropriate. But I'm a big Coach O guy, and they beat up UCF last year, which made me just love them even more because I'm so tired. I was so tired of everyone talking about UCF.
The real national champions, Jack. You're talking about the real ones.
Oh my goodness.
Hey, let's expand the playoff to eight teams. That way, UCF can go in and get bludgeoned by a billion against Alabama.
I'm a big UCF guy. I will not tolerate this kind of disrespect.
They do need to humble themselves. Thank you. Yes, they do need to humble themselves, Alec. I appreciate that. And it was very humbling last year at the hands of LSU. Go Tigers. What I want to do now is we can take our first break, and when we come back, we'll talk. We'll continue this discussion as it pertains to college football. We'll talk the Snacks Harrison extension for the Lions as well. I'll just give you my brief thoughts on that. So more football coming up after this. Don't go anywhere. WKR's Current Sports, Jack Kerwin in for Al Martin. Welcome back to WKR's Current Sports. If you have any thoughts on the discussion Connor and I were just having regarding Texas football being back officially as declared by me, please share your thoughts. How about your thoughts? Please share your thoughts.
Jeez, you're getting Al so much junk for,
you know, I think it's this. It must be this chair.
It's got to be.
But yeah, please give us a call at 517-355-WKR. That's 517-355-9527. And I guess on the other side of the paradigm here, let's talk about Michigan football and why we don't think they have as good of a chance to win the Big Ten as Texas does to win the Big 12. Connor, where are you at with Michigan this year? What do you think their record's going to be when their 12 games that are promised are all said and done?
You know, I think they're gonna fool a lot of people because early on their schedules, you know, they're pretty filled with cupcakes. It'll be real.
No, dude, it's not.
The early part of the schedule is easy.
Their third game is Wisconsin.
It's Wisconsin, but
their second game is Army.
I'm gonna be real with you. I think what's gonna end up happening is what has happened for a couple of Iowa too. Yeah, I know, but here's the thing. Here's where my thinking is. It's going to be very similar to the last couple of years. They're going to start out real hot. Maybe even getting to 7-0. Maybe. Who knows?
7-0 means that 7-0 means that they beat Army, they beat Wisconsin in Madison, and they won in Happy Valley.
Keep with me here.
It's bold.
Maybe 7-0, but then that back end of that schedule is loaded. Yep. You got Penn State, which again they might beat. Who knows? Because that's a back and forth series between the two.
Sure.
I think there's actually starting to be like a little mini rivalry there. Not quite a rivalry, but you know, there's back and forth. They talk trash.
It's a better rivalry when Penn State has a defense, which they didn't last year. And Trace McSorley was hurt.
Yeah,
that game was just not entertaining.
But
you know, that's the other thing is you talk about how it's brewing into a little bit of a rivalry between Harbaugh and Franklin,
mm-hmm.
and I kind of agree with you. But we haven't seen a close game between those two teams yet because Michigan blew the brakes off of Penn State and Harbaugh's first 2 years, right? And then year three for Harbaugh, it was like 42-13 in Happy Valley, not even close.
It's been an exchange of blowouts.
Yeah, and then last year was a blowout too.
But, you know, I look at the back end of their schedule. So let's say they beat Penn State. Then you got to play Notre Dame. That's an out-of-conference. That's a rivalry game. That's not an easy game by any means. I mean, that's a tough one. Then you get a little break with Maryland. And then you got to play your other rival, Michigan State. Again, they're at home. Cool. But again, rivalry game, and we've seen that Lewerke has won in Ann Arbor before, and the defense this year is going to be insane for Michigan State. And then you close out with Ohio State. I think a lot of people in the Big Ten and outside of the Big Ten are sleeping on Ohio State. Yes, they lost Urban Meyer, but there's still a lot of talent there. And especially the team's beaten Michigan how many years in a row is it now?
14 of the last 15, 14, and 7 in a row.
14 last 15, last 7 in a row. I think that back end of the schedule is what's going to get Michigan.
Yeah.
It would not surprise me if they went into the Notre Dame game 7-0. That being said, like you were bringing up, they should not sleep on some of these teams. Army is a tougher game. They're a squirrely opponent. You got Wisconsin, they're playing in Madison. Again, Wisconsin's another one. You don't know what you're going
to
get. And then
need to see what the quarterback looks like after Hornibrook transferred to Florida State last year. You got to see what the quarterback situation is there.
And then you've got Iowa, which is like the Big Ten's version of Iowa State. There are some years where they just find ways to win games.
Game's in the big house, though.
That game is in the big house.
Kinnick gets a little weird at night sometimes, right? Yeah. And it happened to Michigan a couple of years ago.
It happened to Ohio State. I mean,
it happened to Ohio State. Was that 2 years ago?
2 years
ago. Yeah.
Iowa's another one of those teams that, you know, they sometimes just find ways to win. So with that being said, I again, it wouldn't surprise me if they went 7-0 into that game, but they still got tough opponents. The other thing too is, for as much as I'm hearing about the Michigan offense, no one's talking about the Michigan defense losing a lot of key players in the draft. You lose Gary, you lose Devin Bush, you lose Long, and you lose Winovich. That's a big part of defense, especially from a leadership standpoint. So, you know, I don't know what their offense is going to look like. I looked at the team. It doesn't wow me outside of Shea Patterson's coming back. So I guess Harbaugh's going to have a consistent quarterback for another year, which is good for them. But I'm just not sold that. That's going to be enough to carry them to win the Big Ten. And I mean, we don't know what Michigan State's offense is going to look like this year. Hopefully it bounced back. But Michigan State's defense is going to be I think it's going to be top five.
Yes.
Ohio State's going to be a tough team to play. Notre Dame's going to be a tough team to play. I just don't see Michigan having enough with question marks on defense and an offense that's supposedly going to be amazing to win the Big Ten East, let alone the Big Ten.
Yeah, no, and you know what, I feel you. And actually, kind of going back to a point you made last segment, was it about Texas? You said you're not going to pick Texas to win the Big 12.
I'm not going to pick them to win the Big 12 until they beat Oklahoma. If they beat Oklahoma in week six, they will be my favorite still in the Big 12.
Sure. Well, because you're not allowed on. But the only point I was going to make is, after last season, I'm officially never picking Michigan to beat Ohio State until they actually beat Ohio State. I was convinced they were going to beat them by double digits last year because I really didn't think Ohio State was any good. And I'm still not sure Ohio State was really that good last season, to be honest with you. And they blew the brakes off of Michigan.
And, you know, forget about beating Ohio State. Let's talk about winning a substantial bowl game. I mean, there's no reason why they should have lost that Florida Gators team. None.
No.
None.
I agree with you. But going back to, I think you brought up a lot of really good points there. I disagree. I don't think they're going to be 7-0 just because I think their schedule is basically brutal all the way through. But I think as it pertains to the Michigan football team, I can give you all the good and bad right now. I think, you know, you have a trio of wide receivers that when healthy that's a top five wide receiving core in all of college football, I would say. You're returning a quarterback who you seem to have tailored your offense around him. Which I think is, I mean, if this is what you're going to do, if you're going to go with Shea Patterson, which, I mean, that's kind of another discussion, because if I were a Michigan fan, I would want a quarterback competition for sure, because I would want to see more of Dylan McCaffrey before dubbing Shea Patterson the starter. But that's just me. But, you know, if you're going to have Shea Patterson running your offense, you might as well run you know, what Josh Gattis wants to bring to Michigan, speed and space, a lot of spread concepts. So I think that's smart. But I mean, I don't know who their running back is. I mean, it's either True Wilson or it's a freshman. So
the Detroit Free Press had projected it was the senior running back.
Yeah, True Wilson.
True Wilson.
Former walk-on.
He's projected to be there. They think he's going to be their starter.
Yeah. Catholic League guy went to USL
in
high school.
And you know, the thought is that it's going to be a running back by committee. So, you know, that all right, running back by committee can work really well, or it can be stagnating.
Sure.
I think we've seen that at Michigan State as well. You know.
Correct.
I'm just not sold that they're gonna, like, people are talking about this offense like it's gonna be, oh my god, this is gonna be Pat Mahomes back in college football again. Like, I'm just not convinced that offense will A, live up to that standard, and B, enough to win the Big Ten. We know the Big Ten's a defensive heavy conference. It's a punch you in the mouth kind of conference.
Sure.
I'm just not sure that a pure offensive football team can win the Big Ten.
No, I agree with that. I mean, but I think you're kind of underselling Michigan's defense slightly there. I mean, I know they lost a lot, but I think there is still, they do have some guys last year who kind of played depth roles that I think will really thrive in bigger roles, particularly, you know, some of the guys in the front seven, Josh Uche and Quiddy Pay. I'm very bullish on Quiddy Pay. I think Quiddy Pay is going to have a very big year this year for Michigan. I was impressed with him every time he was on the field last year, you know, kind of sparingly because he was behind guys like Rashawn Gary and Chase Winovich. But I'm very bullish on him. So I think some guys are going to step up for Michigan. The part that what I'm most concerned about is the secondary, just because I don't know what it is. I've never liked Josh Metellus. I don't really think he's a great safety by any means. I've never really understood some of the hype around him, and I know Pro Football Focus loves him. He's like one of those analytical darling players, although I'm not really sure I care about Pro Football Focus's opinion as it pertains to football. But, you know, outside of Levert Hill, which I would say if I were a Michigan fan, I would view that as a win to get one of your two corners back from last year. The fact that Levert Hill returned to Michigan for his senior year, even though you lost David Long, I would say is an absolute win because I thought both guys were going to be out. The problem is, who do you have playing on the other side? Who do you have behind him? You have, in my estimation, zero cornerback depth. And the news broke about Ambry Thomas having colitis. It wouldn't shock me if he doesn't play at all this season, right? And, you know, last season, obviously, Brandon Watson was the guy that people targeted for Michigan's defense, right? I mean, you saw it in the Ohio State game. He was the third corner on the field. You know, people went after him. They attacked him, and it generally worked out. They were very successful in doing so just because, you know, he couldn't keep up with some of Ohio State's receivers and Florida's as well.
And that's one thing that makes a defense go from mediocre to good or good to great is if you have someone opposite of that, especially pass defense, if you have someone opposite of one of your star players, whether that be on the defensive line, whether that be in the linebackers, whether that be in the secondary, you have to have someone who can at least, because if you have a one star player on one side, that's great because then they focus on that player.
Yeah.
It opens up opportunities for everyone else.
Sure.
But if you don't have someone who's
can take advantage of
that,
the
then it becomes a liability because now other teams are just going to, if it's a defensive lineman, they're just going to run to the other side of the other side. If it's a cornerback, they're just going to throw to the other side. They're going to throw away from him. So, you know, like you said, that lack of depth, I think, is going to hurt them a little
bit. And I mean, my point was, you know, Brandon Watson was so heavily targeted in those final two games of the year, Ohio State and Florida. Both teams really attacked him. The problem for me is Brandon Watson's gone now, but he was starting over whoever it is you're returning. That would worry me a little bit, right? Because you saw how much Brandon Watson struggled in those games, yet he was the guy who stayed in the game. You know, they didn't bring in anybody to spell him when he was being attacked. They kept him in the game. So that worries me a little bit that, you know, whoever it is that you're bringing in to line up opposite Levert Hill was behind Brandon Watson last year, who got attacked game in and game out, right? So for me, I think their secondary depth worries me. And I just think, for me, with what you've seen from Michigan last season, Michigan won 10 games, right? They went 10-3. The problem for me is they had, Even after they got exposed the last two games, any way you look at it, probably a top 10 defense in America, right?
Oh, I mean, their defense last year was great.
They didn't have the best defense in America. That became apparent in the last two games.
It was a great defense.
They had a top 10 unit, right?
It was a great defense.
So how is this going to work when Jim Harbaugh doesn't have a top 10 defense at his disposal? Because I think this is the first time since he's gotten to Michigan where he's not going to have a top unit on the defensive side of the ball.
Yeah, and that's the thing. If you have a top defense, like we made this point last season watching Michigan State football. If there was a high school caliber offense, they would have won 2-3 more games probably. So defense can compensate, and you see it in professional level too. Defense can compensate for a really really bad for a bad or mediocre offense, sure. And if it's a good
like MSU good, last year,
exactly. If it's a good or borderline great offense, a good great defense can take you to the next level.
Sure.
So, you know, with the defense being weaker than it is, I just don't see a scenario as of right now where they can win the Big Ten East, let alone the Big Ten.
Here's one more question for you before we hit our final break. We'll do that in a couple minutes, but. Do you anticipate seeing big schematic changes to Michigan's defense? You know, they love to run those press man concepts that I never really understood why. I never really understood why they were so hell-bent on running so much press man, just because I generally don't think it's necessary. When you have the personnel that Michigan had, I think you can run zone and it won't tire your guys out nearly as much, and it'll still be very effective, especially with the pass rush that they had. If you're in zone and, you know, you have guys getting after the quarterback the way Chase Winovich and Rashawn Gary did, you don't have to cover men, cover areas of the field, and you can let the ball come to you. That's what I thought Michigan should have done last year. And they got exposed a little bit against Ohio State and Florida with those crossing routes, right?
Yeah. Teams feasted on those.
So it seemed to me that when you face a pretty good – when Michigan, with the current scheme that they run, when they face a good quarterback with good talent at receiver – I don't see how they can be successful with this current scheme because, you know, people can use the middle of the field. They can run slants. They can run sevens. They can run crossing routes, and guys will get open. So do you anticipate Michigan making schematic changes to their defense?
You know, I don't know if they will or won't, but, you know, I will say I think the idea behind them running that press is that it works better for, you know, if you know your line's going to get to the quarterback relatively quickly, you can lock up the guys on the outside and they can't really get over the top as easily, and you take advantage. The gamble, of course, you make with that is all the short, quick stuff you can get burned on really easily. Yep. If your secondary is not on top of it, your secondary is tired, if your secondary makes a mistake, so. You know, with a weaker defense, with a pass rush maybe that you don't trust as much to get there as quickly as Chase Winovich, as Rashawn Gary, as Devin Bush when he was on the rush. You know, maybe they do change that. Maybe they decide, you know what, we're gonna drop back a little bit more and we're gonna see what we got. And I think you might see it in like the Middle Tennessee State game, which it would be hilarious if Middle Tennessee State beat Michigan, because then they would own the state of Michigan in football and basketball.
That would be pretty funny. But
against Army, you know, they might try these things out early on. But I'm not sure if you would see a change or not. And I haven't heard anything about a change.
No, I agree, and it's kind of been Don Brown's MO his entire tenure as a defensive coordinator to kind of run a lot of press man concepts and just, you know, fill the box and blitz a lot. So I would be surprised if he changes a whole lot up, but at the same time, I feel like the book might be out a little bit on how to score against Michigan's defense. So we'll see what happens. And you know what? Going back to Middle Tennessee State, that's really their one dress rehearsal in my mind before the season gets very real for them, because I view Army as a very live team, and I view Wisconsin as a very live team on the road. So they have Middle Tennessee, and then I think they play Army, and I believe they have a bye week. And then it's week four, it's Wisconsin. So we'll see what happens there. But what we should do now is we'll hit our final break. When we come back, we'll kind of put a bow on this Thursday afternoon edition of Current Sports. We'll discuss the Snacks Harrison extension for the Lions and how that impacts their defense moving forward. So don't go anywhere. WKR is Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. Just about 7 minutes left in the program. Jack Kerwin once again in for Al Martin. Al will be back next Tuesday. Until then, I will be your show's host. If you have any thoughts on the Michigan versus Texas debate, kind of who you think is going to be back this season, who's going to take a step forward, please share your thoughts with us. We'd love to hear from you. 517-355-WKAR is the number to call. That's 517-355-9527. And just to kind of put a cap on today's show, Connor, came across my desk that Snacks Harrison has received a one-year extension from the Detroit Lions, meaning 2 years total left on his contract. I believe $12 million more guaranteed for Snacks. I don't have much to say on this other than I think it's a very positive move just because you saw what Snacks brought to the Lions last season. They couldn't stop the run worth a damn before he got there. And the impact of one very large 360-pound man completely changed that moving forward. So, you know, we'll see how much Snacks has left in the tank because I believe he's 29 or 30 years old. But even at that age, I think he can still be a very effective player moving forward just because he's not an all-downs kind of guy. You know, he can be a run stuffer on third and short, but, you know, first downs, you're not going to see a whole lot of Snacks Harrison. So I think this is, you know, a very positive move for the Lions and gives them a little bit of security at that position for at least one more season.
I like the move as well. I mean, he plays defensive tackle, and, you know, those are one of the few players on the line that can play extended careers, you know, because ultimately, you know, if he starts regressing a little bit, he can just eat up space. So I really like the move. I think it keeps the Lions line solidified. And I think more importantly, it brings back some leadership. I mean, you kind of saw that Harrison kind of took on that role of kind of the voice of the defense a little bit, at least in press conference and thing like that. So I like the move overall. I think he'll get the job done for Detroit. And, you know, if they can just improve the offensive side of the ball, they could, you know, become a good football team again.
We'll see. Yeah, we'll absolutely see. I mean, I think for me, when you look at personnel alone, the Lions should have a borderline top five defensive front. You know, when you look at the addition of Mike Daniels, you look at Snacks Harrison, the addition of Trey Flowers as well, which, I mean, you want to talk about a great move. How about taking the $17 million you were paying to Ziggy Ansah to never be on the field to give to a guy as productive as Trey Flowers? I think that was a great move from the Lions just because, you know, everything just kind of fits with Trey Flowers. He's 25 years old, and it's a five-year deal, right? You're not paying for an extra 2 or 3 years of that contract where he's just straight up not going to be worth the money, right? I could very well see him being a productive player for all 5 years of this deal. Okay, that's number one. Number two is he came from the system that the Detroit Lions, the Patriots system, that the Lions are trying to implement. So, you know, he's already had success in this scheme, and he just gets to continue playing it here in Detroit.
Yeah, and I think another really good move by the Lions. They made really good moves on their defensive side this offseason.
They spent a lot of money, you know, so we'll see what happens.
Mike Daniels, you know, freshly great released move. from your rival. I mean, he's a high motor guy. I mean, he's a really
you can't
talented,
call him a high motor guy. He's not white. You can't call black athletes high motor guys. He's a natural athlete.
Hang on a minute. No. He's a defensive lineman, so I can say that because the stereotype is that defensive linemen are these big, fat, lazy guys. So I think I can use high motor enough for Mr. Daniels. But that, in my mind, is another good move. You know, you have him playing next to Harrison or have him in the plays that Harrison isn't.
Sure.
That's frightening on the inside, on the interior defensive line.
And you know what? I think it's fair. I think I just need to address this. I do think Lions fans need to temper their expectations a little bit as it pertains to Mike Daniels, because if Mike Daniels were the same player he was 3 years ago, the Packers wouldn't have let him go, right? So you do have to get that out of the way. But I still do believe, to your point, I think it was a very good move, and I still think he can absolutely help this team out.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's, you know, time wears down on players and things like that. But I mean, the only consolation I can give you for that is the Packers are also going through a lot of internal changes and things like that.
Sure.
So it would not shock me if Mike Daniels ended up being, you know, the sacrificial lamb of the new regime.
He didn't fit the scheme that the new defensive coordinator.
I don't know, but I mean, you see this a lot when coaching staffs and, you know, executive and front office, you know, the behind the scenes stuff, when that changes hands, you sometimes see these talented players end up on the market because, you know, they're just not what the new regime's looking for. So, you know, you can dial back the expectations a little bit, you know, because, you know, time does wear on players. He's 30 years old. But again, he's in the position where, you know, sometimes guys can have decent longevity at it.
No, I agree. I agree. And we talked about that with Snacks Harrison as well. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see what comes of the Lions this year. Let me tell you, I'll be glued to my couch today or tomorrow, whenever the Lions preseason game is. Not really.
Tomorrow.
Is it today? It's tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
Oh, I think Al wants us to preview that game. Yeah, we'll give you our full Detroit Lions preview ahead of their Week 3 showdown against the Buffalo Bills.
They need to make some offense happen. My goodness.
Or they don't, because I don't really care. It's the preseason. It's one of these things.
You should. You don't have a backup QB.
Well, yeah, I know we don't have a backup QB, but there's no amount of preseason games that's going to change my opinion on that. Also, you know, for me, I'm not going to worry about the preseason, the poor preseason showings from the Lions. It's when it spills over into the regular season when I'm really going to have an issue, which it did last season. So that's where I'm really going to start to get
annoyed. I'm not going
to
lie. After that first preseason game, I'm like, how did an NFL team, I don't care this preseason, put up that little offensive yards? That was embarrassing, but I digress.
We'll see. We'll see. I'm still rooting for Matt Patricia. I was so bullish on him when they hired him, so I almost feel like I'm just kind of too far down the rabbit hole to say he's a bad coach now. So I hope it works out for Matt Patricia.
You have that Adam Gase syndrome. You gotta clear eyes when you look at this.
It's wild that sit up. It's oh my goodness. I'm so glad I put that back in the system there. Matt Patricia telling a reporter to sit up after.
Hey, do me a favor, just kind of sit up.
Yep. After looking like a slob most NFL Sundays. So just 1 minute left in the program here. There was something else I was going to say. Oh, Adam Gase. Yeah. How is it that Adam Gase had like basically 1 year with Jay Cutler in Chicago where he seemed like a pretty competent offensive coordinator, and from that he's gotten two head coaching jobs?
Oh, I have no idea. Yeah, you're preaching to the
wild.
No, just wait for the inevitable the talent purge because they're not culture fits. So just Jets fans, be ready for that. That will happen. He will get rid of talent inexplicably. So just prepare yourself one way or another.
Do you think he's a Belichick plant that he just stays in Belichick's division to make sure that he always wins the AFC East?
Yeah, I would.
Belichick's signing Adam Gase's paychecks.
I would say that, except for the fact that he coached Peyton Manning and had a really productive year with Peyton Manning. So I don't know if he's a Belichick plant, but I mean, I don't think Belichick has a problem with him.
Shout out to Charlie Kelly and It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. Thanks for that drop, Alec. We will see you guys tomorrow. You will hear from us tomorrow, but until then, we are on a 23-hour break. Have a great rest of your Thursday, and be easy, people. We'll be right back.